you'd like to turn to the book of Revelation, we'll be reading from chapter 8, Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Remember that it's the Lord Jesus Christ who has the authority and the right, and who's been found worthy to loose the seven seals. Now he's come to the seventh seal, and it says, "When it was loosed, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." He says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." So these seven angels are going to sound, and as each one blows his trumpet, there's going to be these judgments upon the earth that are revealed here. And it's based upon the casting down of this censer into the earth, which is filled with the incense and with the prayers of the saints. So the judgments that are going to come upon the earth are God's response to the prayers of his saints. And you can go back in Revelation chapter 7. And it says that these are they which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. These prayers of the saints are the reason that this is taking place, God's judgment upon the earth. It says, "The first angel sounded and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and it was a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. He says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound." I believe these are symbolic. What's being described here is symbolic of the curses that have come upon a sin-cursed earth. And this time frame that we're reviewing is from the first coming of Jesus Christ to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And these judgments that come upon when he says the third part of the earth, I believe he's talking about the sin curse that's upon all different aspects of creation, from the waters to the trees, to the fish in the sea, the sun, the moon, and the stars. He's talking about the curse that's come upon the earth. "The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns of gold, and their faces were as faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, which in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels which are bound at the great river Euphrates, and the four angels which are loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of janketh, and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now John the Revelator is giving us insight into the sinful nature of man, that even after all of these judgments which have been described, that the natural man's heart is such that he's not going to turn from his sin. When God's judgment is so plain and so clear, yet men are stubborn and committed to their idolatry and wickedness. It takes the sovereign grace, the power of Almighty God to soften the heart, to give a heart of flesh to a wicked and rebellious sinner. They did not repent of their murders, nor their sorceries, which is witchcraft, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that are therein, and the earth, and the things that are therein, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go, and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it up, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shalt thou tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be in this manner be killed. These have power to shut up heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon all which saw them. they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and their remnant were affrighted, and God and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto the servants and prophets and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there was lightnings and voices and thunderings, and an earthquake and great hail. And so we come to the end of this, I believe it's the third parallel passage. It begins with the coming of Christ and ends with the second coming of Christ. And he describes the coming of Christ in this way here. Thy wrath is come and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. So it's judgment day. And that he should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets and the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, a reward which is great and which is not based upon our works, but based upon the work of Jesus Christ, rewards for his finished work, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. That ends the next passage in chapter 12. We'll start another passage, a parallel passage, about the coming of Christ from his first coming to his second coming. And you can see here in 12 it says, There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. This is talking about the church. It's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ from the nation of Israel. And she's travailing to give birth to Jesus Christ, the first coming of Christ. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So you have there in these verses in symbolism the prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ, God's preparing the nation of Israel and preparing his people for the coming of Jesus Christ, his incarnation. And you have Satan, the dragon, who draws the third part of the stars from heaven. That's probably symbolic of the third part of the angels which left heaven with the devil and are called demons. Now they're opposing the coming of Jesus Christ, and he's standing there ready before the woman to devour the child as soon as the child is born. And that is history in brief symbolism from the Garden of Eden, the fall in the Garden of Eden, to the coming of Jesus Christ, that 4,000 years, give or take, of the history of the world. Here is Satan opposing the coming of the Son of God, the promised child that God promised in the Garden of Eden, for to devour the child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. You can go to Psalm chapter 2 and see that's clearly talking about Jesus Christ, the one that rules the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And so in verse 5, you have the summary of Jesus' life there in just a sentence, that he was born, he's the one that would rule the nations with a rod of iron, and then it says, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And so we have 33 years of his ministry there in one verse. And the rest of the passage is going to be from the time of his ascension into heaven until the time of his second coming. Don't get confused about that. That's all the scripture teaches us, that there's two comings of Christ. There's his incarnation, and then his ascension into heaven. There's the second coming of Christ, and there's going to be judgment day when he returns. Don't get confused with different ideas that there's going to be multiple comings of Christ, and he's going to come, and that he's going to take his people, and then he's going to wait for a period of time, and then he's going to come again, and there's going to be judgment. No, there's two comings of Christ. He ascends up into heaven. He's reigning upon the throne of heaven today. The judgments which are taking place in the earth are according to his sovereign purposes and for his glory. And the thing for God's people to remember in the midst of all of this is in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He says, verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God's people, through the woes and the judgments that come upon the earth described in Revelation, are not just going to get through it by the skin of their teeth. Peter does say that if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the wicked and the ungodly appear? But Paul says in Romans 8:37 that we're not just going to make it through. We're not just going to get by, but we're going to be more than conquerors. We're going to be more than victors in Christ Jesus, because of his sovereign grace, because of his power, because of his love. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. May God bless you.